Hello and welcome to Introduction to Meteorology at the University of Hawaii at Manoa with Dr. Jennifer Griswold. Thank you for joining us. In today's lecture, we're going to talk about air mass thunderstorms, severe thunderstorms, supercells, mesoscale convective complexes, and microbursts. In preparation for today's lecture, you should have read through the first half of Chapter 10 from the Aarons text. Last lecture, we talked about mid-latitude cyclones, how they form, and their association with warm and cold fronts, as well as maritime, tropical, and continental polar air masses. Today, we're going to learn about thunderstorms and how they work and the variety of ways they can manifest in the atmosphere. Thunderstorms are storms that generate thunder and lightning. They are characterized by strong up and down motions and frequently produce gusty winds, heavy rains, and hail. Thunderstorms can form on their own, or they can form in conjunction with mid-latitude cyclones on the edge of the cold front, or with hurricanes. In the U.S., Florida has the highest occurrence of thunderstorms, with on average 80 to 100 days with thunderstorms per year. They also commonly occur in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains and are associated with Tornado Alley in the middle of the country and the dry lines that form as air with different humidities and density interact. Thunderstorms form when warm, humid air rises in an unstable environment. There are two general categories. First, air mass thunderstorms that form due to unequal heating of the Earth's surface within a maritime tropical air mass. Remember that our abbreviation for maritime tropical is lowercase m and capital T. Second, we have severe thunderstorms that form by unequal heating with additional lifting of warm air from some other mechanism, which can include frontal wedging or orographic lifting. Let's talk more about air mass thunderstorms. Air mass thunderstorms form inside a warm, moist air mass, usually a maritime tropical air mass from the East Pacific, Gulf of Mexico, or the Caribbean. They usually occur in spring and summer, but mostly summer, since that's when we receive the most heating. They usually occur in mid-afternoon, when the daytime temperature has reached its peak. These types of thunderstorms are not associated with a front and are mostly due to local differences in temperature. Air mass thunderstorms are similar to mid-latitude cyclones in that they have a predictable life cycle. The three general stages of development are the cumulus stage, the mature stage, and the dissipating stage. During the cumulus stage, or stage one, the storm is characterized by rising air and cloud formation with vertical growth. During this stage, moisture is being added to the upper atmosphere as the cloud grows to higher and higher altitudes. Also during this stage, if it is going to continue to the next and continue to grow, the cloud needs a continuous supply of moisture to survive. During the second stage, or the mature stage, precipitation begins and forms mainly through the Bergeron process involving ice crystal growth and supercooled liquid drops. As rain begins to fall, it drags air with it and becomes associated with the downdraft air flowing back to the surface. This is the most active stage of the thunderstorm life cycle, where you observe gusty winds, lightning, heavy rain, and even hail. During this stage, the updrafts and downdrafts occur side by side and are more or less vertical. The downdrafts are actually partially caused by the drag exerted by the falling drops. The other cause for downward flowing air is entrainment of dry upper troposphere air. Remember, entrainment is the mixing of dry air with cloud air at the edge of a cloud. This causes cloud drops to evaporate. The energy for evaporation comes from the energy of the air parcel. By evaporating drops, the storm uses up the energy and results in cooling of that smaller air parcel. As the temperature of the entrained air plus cloud air decreases, it cools, causing it to be more dense and thus sink to the surface. Stage 3 is the dissipating stage. During this stage, the cooling effect on the falling precipitation and the influx of cold air up top via entrainment mark the end of the storm. The downdrafts cut off the updraft and the cloud stops growing. During this stage, you're left with weakly descending air parcels and the cloud ultimately destroys itself. Severe thunderstorms are slightly different. These storms are characterized by heavy downpours, flooding, gusty straight-line winds, large hail, lightning, and even tornadoes. In order to be classified as a severe storm, there need to be winds in excess of 58 miles per hour, or hail that is 0.75 inches in diameter, or a confirmed tornado. These types of storms can exist as multi-cell thunderstorms in which several cells are present that are each in a different stage of development. They tend to form in regions of moderate to strong vertical wind shear, since that encourages the storms to move horizontally and tip, making the up and down drafts not quite vertical. This also plays a role in allowing the storm to live longer, since the up and down drafts interact in a different way than in an air mass thunderstorm. Severe thunderstorms persist for many hours because this vertical shear causes precipitation to fall in the downdraft longer and allows the updraft to retain its strength. Sometimes the updrafts are so strong that you get overshooting tops and anvils of ice crystals, which we'll talk about in more detail shortly. The cold air of the downdrafts spread out at the surface, making a mini cold front that is known as a gust front or outflow boundary. This mini cold front can form what is known as a roll cloud. The most severe thunderstorms are known as supercells. These storms cause dangerous weather. There are about 2,000 to 3,000 per year. They are large, about 20 to 50 kilometers in diameter, are very powerful, and can reach up to 20 kilometers in height while lasting for many hours. Supercells have different vertical profiles than regular severe and air mass thunderstorms. The vertical wind profile may cause the updraft to rotate, forming a mesocyclone, which is a prerequisite for tornado formation. These storms need a lot of latent heat release to power them. Thus, they require a moist troposphere and an inversion a couple of kilometers above the surface to cap the moisture and keep it close to the surface. The unstable air can then break through the inversion by eroding it via mixing. Another manifestation of violent severe thunderstorms are squall lines. They develop in the warm sector of the mid-latitude cyclone 100 to 300 kilometers in advance of the cold front. They are linear in shape and can last for 10 hours or more, traveling in the general direction of the low and its associated cold front. Squall lines are sometimes preceded by mammatus clouds. They form when the divergence and resulting lift created by the jet stream is aligned with strong, persistent, low-level flow of humid air from the south. They can also form on dry lines, where there is a discontinuity in humidity and thus a difference in air density. If we have many air mass thunderstorms or multi-cell storms growing together, we can have what is called a mesoscale convective complex. They consist of many individual thunderstorms organized into a large oval or circular cluster. They're known as MCCs. They are big, at least 100,000 square kilometers, which is about 39,000 square miles. They can cover an entire state, like Iowa. They are also slow since they are not associated with the front or mid-latitude cyclone. They can remain over a region for up to 12 hours. They can be associated with tornadoes and typically form in the Great Plains from a group of afternoon air mass thunderstorms. To transform from a small set of air mass thunderstorms to an MCC, we need lots of low-level, warm, and moist air. Our overshooting tops mark the location of the maximum updraft, and the anvil shield made of ice crystals shows the general wind direction. Finally, let's talk about microbursts, what they are, how they form, how long they last, and what kind of damage they can do. They are essentially a localized downdraft associated with a passing thunderstorm. They're about 2.5 miles or 4 kilometers across and can last for 2 to 5 minutes. The downdraft is accelerated by evaporative cooling. The outflow at the surface can move in excess of 100 miles per hour or 160 kilometers an hour. Microbursts can cause quite a bit of destruction and can damage trees, crops, homes, and unlucky aircraft. That finishes up our lecture on the various types of thunderstorms and associated weather phenomenon. Thanks for listening, and I hope you join us again for our next podcast. Goodbye!